And now for something completely different. Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, phenomenal, always fun, usually somewhat fascinating Friday as we head into the weekend, not being afraid, even if the earth gives way or the mountains fall into the seas, because our help comes from the Lord. First, it's Friday. Yay! Which means it's time for Dr. Dave's devotional diamonds of the day. We love Fridays because they are highly unpredictable. How unpredictable? Sergio called and asked a great question. I didn't teach anything I had planned out. That's what. Now, even though we have a direction in mind, we remain open to the Lord's guidance because that's part of the fun of the show. Our first topic is understanding the covenant or agreement that God has made with us. We dive into Kings chapter 8 to comprehend God's heart and his foundation. Wow, that'll go really well with our first 30 minutes. Next, I recently read a devotional from Pastor Ray about the 400 years of silence, the period from the end of Malachi to the beginning of Matthew. Although termed as silence, God is never silent. If you look up, you'll hear him speak and see his wonders. Pastor Ray reviews the significant shifts during these 400 years that are often overlooked. Understanding how God prepares for his prophets and his purpose is beneficial for us to know right now. And finally, we conclude with an outstanding truth, the power within you. This power isn't about performing miracles, but advancing the kingdom of God. It highlights the personal responsibility for each one of us is inescapable. It highlights that from Adam and Eve to the last humans standing. We possess a power that exceeds our own awareness. Stay tuned for an examination of this power in The Truth Report.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Just so much more. I can't even tell. Just a ton more. Now remember, it's not professional radio. And how do we know that? Well, Jacob and I can testify before a court of law, before all of you listeners, and before God Almighty, it is not professional radio. Is it professional radio?
No, it is not.
But we are asking you, what do you think? So you can email us during the show. That's kind of fun. David@hemustincrease.org. That's David@hemustincrease.org. You can text us. What? Right? You can text us? Right now. 214-210-8483. Now, when they do this replay at 1 in the morning, you can't text then. But you can. Nobody's going to get it. Anyway, 214-210-8483 for right now. Or you can call us. We've had a first-time caller. We've had our brother Sergio. How much fun is this? 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. When you call that number, you're going to end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like heading into the weekend.
Thank you, David. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. We'll be in prayer for you. I know you got to do a little bit of work tomorrow. Not a ton, but a little bit, right? Okay. All right. That's not too bad. Not too bad. I can promise you tomorrow I am resting. You want to know why I'm resting? There's two reasons. One, because I've spent actually 35 hours this week outside of ministry just doing the book projects. So I am exhausted.
could tell Tuesday. Was it Tuesday when you came?
Yeah, I was like, tired. Oh, boy. The other thing, I do need prayer from everybody. I need you guys to be praying for me. I don't know what is going on. I will find out. But my knee, you know, it's just the enemy all the time. But my knee is just being super weird. It's like being super weird. Now, when I say super weird, I'm not saying it pops off the leg and says, hey, Dave, how you doing? It's just feeling really weird. For those that don't know, 2 years ago, I had a pretty major surgery. And then, three days after the surgery, I did it again and hurt my knee and then had to have another surgery, the exact same surgery again. So my knee is mad at me. That's all I'm going to give you. Let me give you, by the way, update on Easton, and then we'll tell you what you can do with the phone number and the text and the email. So I did talk to my daughter today. It was just perfect. I just finished my reading my Bible, just finished everything. She called 5 minutes later after I just got settled in, and we talked for a little bit. And I just want to say this, that Easton was in a really bad way yesterday. So Easton's my grandson. He's definitely a challenged child. He needs continual 24/7 care. He cannot speak. He cannot talk. He cannot walk. He cannot use his muscles without help. But he has been a champion for 5 years. And yesterday, when they went to the hospital, he was doing poorly, and they were doing oxygen, not full-blown resuscitation, but he needs oxygen to help him breathe. Well, one of the doctors had suggested to Julianne some type of incubation process. And boy, you hear that and you start going, uh-oh, right? But I will give props to my daughter, who is much wiser, and we talked about this, much wiser than your average bear. And she told the doctor in no uncertain terms that in spite of the fact that he made that suggestion, he was highly wrong, and there were about 6 steps to go through before. And it was on the next step that they took that Easton started to do better. So you can tell the Lord has given my daughter this exceptional wisdom. And she said to me today, and I'm not bragging about her because I'm her dad. I'm bragging about her because of how strong her faith is in the Lord. She said the other day that sometimes the nurses will come in and talk to her and to Jared, and they'll say, are you guys nurses or are you doctors in training? Because they have done this for 5 years and they really know their stuff. So I said, well, maybe that's the Lord telling you that you should do some advocacy for other parents who don't know as much as you do, helping them with their children who go through this and are just freaked out and don't know how to respond. So they're going to be praying about that, and I'm really blessed about that. I think that's really a cool thing. But Easton, doing better. Is he out of the woods, so to speak? No, but doing better. And that's what we want. We want the improvement. We want better than the last time we prayed. And so we just thank the Lord. In fact, I'm going to thank him right now and ask you to join me with that in a brief moment for all of you who have been praying for him. Let's just praise the Lord. Father, I come before you right now, and I just humble myself, Lord. I just thank you for your graciousness for Easton. I thank you for giving Julianne wisdom that's way past her. It's way past her. It's way past me. I don't even want to touch it, Lord. But I am so blessed that you're giving it to my daughter, and that she and her husband, fantastic Jared, is just doing well in standing in the gap for Easton. And just pray that you would give him such great refreshment, but just praise to you for the insights that you give these two parents who trust you, believe you, love you, want to serve you, want to honor you. It's not like it's not hard for them, Lord. I know it's hard for them. You know it's hard for them. But you are forging in them the people that you want them to be. Because before she's my daughter, she's yours. So keep doing all that you're doing. And let what you do to her be a blessing to others and honor your name. Touch little Easton. Touch the kids. Encourage them. Encourage Jared for being such a great stand-up guy. Bless that family, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, so I just wanted to do that prayer for them, and that was just important to me to do. Okay, now, let's go back to this and what this is all about. What is the deal on the email, the text, and the phone numbers? The email, david@hemusincrease.org. The text, 214-210-8483. The phone number, 972-445-0770. 0770. What's the deal on that? Well, if you've got a praise report, share it. It will bless other people. It will reinforce it in your lives, and it will honor the Lord. And I know in your heart you love the Lord. You want to honor. If it's – but, Dave, it's not – well, that's one with Easton, that's huge. Yeah. But it's the little ones that count too. And let me explain that to you. I'm sitting there teaching about 35 minutes ago. I'm teaching off of Sergio's question. And it just quote unquote so happens that my Bible is already open to a spot I wanted to go to share, and there I am sharing it. That little thing is a blessing from the Lord. That's grace. That's a bracelet. You wear it like on your hands. It's like wonderful. Share those. They will continually bless you. If you've got a prayer request, let's pray. Is Easton better because we prayed? I cannot say yes or no, but I believe yes. And I choose to function in my faith and in my belief. That's why I believe in Jesus. We also do weird things like jokes. Yes, we will do some jokes because I actually got some good ones. We got some history. Plus, another trivia question. Let's see if you guys can get this one. Here it is. Who is this person? I hosted two angels in my house. And Abraham was my uncle. Who am I? Am I Lot? Am I Isaac? Or am I Joshua? Your answer is in Genesis 19, 1 through 3 as well. It's also Genesis 14, 12 if you want to use that as a reference. I hosted two angels in my house. I have a really cool uncle named Abraham. Am I Lot? Am I Isaac? Or am I Joshua? Genesis 19, 1 through 3. Or you can also look up the second reference there, Genesis 14, 12. If you want to reach out to us, the phones are working. Praise the Lord. See, is that just great? We get to the end of the week. Now the phones work. Praise the Lord. 972-445-0770. That's the number to call. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email. An email? Yes, you can. I know, it sounds weird. Almost sounds like email now is like snail mail. I'm telling you, it's so weird. But you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. That's the question. Not making it complex. I can make it really hard and ask you, you know, what's the derivative of the Hebrew between the connection of verse 13 and 14, and how does that get explained in different verses? And I guess we won't do that. How about just this one? I hosted two angels in my house and my unk. Was Abe. Who am I? Am I Lot, Isaac, or Joshua? Somebody is on the line. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Gary. I'll tell you, I'm doing better because the phones sound better. I had good news with Easton, so that was, you know, that's pretty much a blessing. And this first 30 minutes was like, I just loved it because I just felt like the Lord was like, this is for people, you know, and that's always good. So I'm doing great. Thank you for asking me how I'm doing. I appreciate that. All right, my friend. All right. Did you check your mail, by the way? Did that thing come yet?
I haven't checked it, but I'm going to check it just a little later today.
Okay. All right. Just make sure that they either give us a call on Monday. I just want to make sure you get that thing. Okay? All right.
Okay.
Here we go. I hosted two angels in my house. Wowzer. And Abraham, what a uncle. Who am I? Am I Lot, Isaac, or Joshua?
You're Lot.
That is correct, Amundo! And you know, that goes right into the joke. Why was Abraham smart? Because he knew a lot. There you go. Like that one, brother? That's pretty good. All right, yeah, let's pray over you, okay? And I want you to be doing well, and I want you to get healed. That's what I'm going to keep praying for, okay?
All right. Let's
do it. Father, we come before you right now, and thank you for our brother Gary. First, I thank you, Lord, that he knows your word. This is a man that knows what you have to say. He knows what your word is. And Lord, we just want him to understand he's a blessing to the audience. And we want to be a blessing to him. And that's why everybody needs to be praying, Lord. And Lord, We're going to keep asking you and keep asking you and keep asking you and keep asking you to bring healing into Gary's body, because he doesn't need just to feel better. He needs healing from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and everything inside of him that's not the way it needs to be made right. Please bring your healing power into Gary's life through the power of the Holy Spirit and by the authority through the stripes and in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We ask you this with graciousness and great hope. Again, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, and I'll be praying for all of you, and God bless you.
God bless you too, brother. Okay. Love, Gary. Okay? All right, here we go. We're still doing DNA. You're thinking we're escaping here. No, you're not. You're not escaping. We're not going anywhere. We got so much stuff to do. We're doing DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. This is what I pray on Fridays. I know people don't. So I have my little, you know how everybody's, you got little routines, okay? Well, I have routines. My wife goes, you're so OCD. And you know what I said to her? Listen to what I said. I said, really? I'm OCD? She goes, yeah. I said, oh, you know what that stands for? She goes, what? I said, one cool dude. What? OCD? One cool dude. What? That's good.
Did she laugh?
I won't tell you what she did. But let's say she's living here quite some long. She knows exactly how to respond, let's just say. But her response was more, okay, anyway, so we'll just move on now. So moving on. So bottom line is draw closer to the Lord every day because it will make your life better. I cannot say it any other way. Do you want your life to be better at all? Okay, I actually taught somebody this week that I'm not sure that person wanted that. Do you want your life to be better? Spend time with God alone, separated, you and him, period. Back into the closet with the Lord in that secret place. That's what you need. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D. N. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, 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 never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. In fact, you should be blessed that when you open up your Bible, you get it. Because that is grace. Okay? That's D, draw closer to the Lord daily, and never be ashamed of Jesus' words. And then A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve, which means you're ready. You don't have, I know people are like, well, I have to go to a Bible college, or I have to go through all the ministry classes. I always laugh about that, because remember the guy in the Garden of Gerasenes, and so he has these spirits in him, and they're all cast out, and then he's sitting in his right mind, and then he's like, let me follow you, Lord, and then Jesus said, no, you have to go to Witnessing 101 and put on a tie. Oh, wait, Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, go tell everybody what God has done for you. And then the next verse says he went and told everybody what Jesus did for him. It's another clue there. I just want you to catch it. You just share it. Let the Lord take care of it. You share it. That's what your job is. You don't have to even say it wise. Oh, God help me. You can just say that. Oh, by grace. That's all you got to say. Oh, thank the Lord. And I mean thank him. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't have to be perfect. Always be ready, though, to share. Just be ready. Be active, be ready. That's the A. So D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready to serve. So now I'm debating. Should we skip the what do you think? I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Up to you.
Let's skip it. Okay.
All right.
All right. We're going to go into the teaching. Joy wrote in, by the way, OCD. It's one cool dude or one cool dudette for women. See, that's very good, Joanne. Very good. Okay. That was very good. Okay. Here's your first, what are we doing? Our first DDD, devotional diamond of the day. This is picking up in Kings chapter 8, verse 23. This is so in sync with what we taught in the first 30 minutes. It's incredible. And there's no way this could have ever been planned by any person anywhere ever. Because when you hear what I'm going to say, if you listen to the first 30 minutes, you're going to go, oh, you guys planned that. Like, nope. This is the kind of stuff I'm telling you. This is what the Lord does. And when these things happen, you acknowledge them. You acknowledge the gracelets because they bless you so. Listen to this. O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You, listen, who keep your covenant of love with your servants who continue wholeheartedly in your way. I would have remembered I was teaching this because I would have brought this up in the Sergio conversation. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. So let's just say that out so that there's no question. There is no other God. We're specifically talking about small g here. No other government, no other God, no other anything that is like the Lord God Almighty. None, ever. And this is the statement. You keep your covenant of love. We were just talking about this. I mean, you can't make this up. We were just discussing this 35 minutes ago, how God has a covenant with you. He's got a love for you. He doesn't just love you from the past. He doesn't just love you in the present, but he also loves you in the future. There's no changing in the truth of the love of God. Somebody who's listening to me today needs to really hear about the love that God has for you. And we spent some time talking about what the Lord paid for you, but I want you to understand something. He's made a covenant of love with you. He's never going to break it. God does not lie. He is faithful and true. But Dave, I've done so many things wrong since I've been a Christian. You and every other Christian. You're thinking, well, how is that possible? I don't know. Peter was a Christian, then he denied Jesus. Then he went on to preach in Acts chapter 2, one of the most powerful sermons that changed the course of humanity. People do dumb things. People do make mistakes. It's true. By the way, later on in Peter's life, he still got rebuked by Paul because he was being hypocritical. Peter had it going. He had his moments. That's all I'm going to say about that. But here's what I want you to catch. It's a covenant of love. God loves you. And I just think about when 45, let's see, so it'll be 46 years in a bit. But 40, let's just say 45 and a half years ago, I just think when I first heard the gospel and I was like, God loves me? That was such a novel thought. And now 40 years later, what? Is it supposed to wear thin? It doesn't have the same power? Hey, it's that love that saved you and that will keep you forever. He wants to hang out with you forever. I cannot put, you know how you visit somebody's house or they visit your house and after maybe 3, 4, 5 or even 6 hours, it's like, okay, everybody go home. I'm the guy that tells my kids, okay, it's dulling out. You guys are no longer welcome. Leave. I know you're thinking you don't do that. I will have my son call and testify how many times I've done that. Here's the truth of the matter. God never gets tired of our company. Ever. And so he keeps his covenant of love with the servants who continue wholeheartedly. Remember? So Sergio's saying, you know, how do you step in? It's like, dude. Every ounce you are, and the closer you get to God, the closer you want to become with God. That's why, I'll do a shameful plug, and I'll do it because at least I talk about it in the book. In that book, The Jewish Christian, there's a whole section on wanting more. I want more of the Lord because you're going to spend eternity with him. Don't you want more? So he has this covenant of love. Okay, this is the first part I want you to get, and it doesn't change. And he wants his servants to continue with your whole heart. In other words, don't let this become religious. Don't let this become, what's the word I'm looking for? Don't let it become routined. If your Christianity is dull, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. When my Christianity has is the ebbs and flow, those ebbs and flows aren't because of God. They're because of me. And what's the answer to having a revival within your Christian faith? More of God. And the knowledge. I don't know what it is about this phrase. I'll get to it in a second, but I just don't know what it is about this phrase. But this phrase that keeps sticking in my mind, that God wants somebody out there, more than one person, I know. He wants you to understand that he wants you. It's such a blessing to be wanted by the right people and by the right crew. The truth of the matter is we even have animals that we love, pets, that love it when we come home, and we love that they love it, right? I mean, our dog, when I come home, so we've had to lock, I'm just telling you this right now, we've had to lock the bathroom door that goes to the garage, not the bathroom, the utility door that goes to the garage, because Bert knows how to open doors. Have I told you this? So you know he's got the little door handle and he puts his paw on it. He knows how to do it. He goes around the house opening doors. It's so weird, right? So we've put a lock on there, a kid's lock, so that when he puts his paw on it, it won't go down. When we walk in, I put that thing down and then I open the door. That dog jumps. You're home! You're home! Yeah, 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 yeah! And that dog's so excited. And initially, you think he must want to go to the bathroom. And that's not what it is. He's just so happy. He says, so I'll open the door, so you got to go out. And then I open the door for him, and then I walk back in, and he walks right back after me and starts jumping on me. He's so happy to see me. God is more happy to spend time with you than that. I mean, is that hilarious? It's just so powerful, though. This is how much the Lord loveth thee. That's why every time he sees his disciples and everybody's freaking out, oh, it's a ghost, oh, no. What's the first thing he says? Don't be afraid. It's me. Maybe I should have added that into Sergio's answer, the fourth thing. The first thing was you have to believe the truth that God loves you. The second thing is the closer you get to God, the closer you get to the Creator, the more your life has. The third thing is to understand he wants you. And the fourth thing is you can't let fear stop you from stepping in. Some of you might be thinking, whoa, I am afraid to step in. Don't be. The water's great. Step in. You get it? Isn't that cool? Okay. All right. Ready to break? I just totally, completely destroyed our one thing, so... Yeah, it's okay. All right, we're going to take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience.
I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just being honest, right? Because I'll pull from – I'm Jewish. I was trained well, and you pull from multiple directions. It's just one of those things. So I kind of needed to recognize that sometimes I'm obnoxious, and I need to make up for it. And the whole point of me telling you this is sometimes you will do things that doesn't necessarily mean you're wrong, but because you didn't have the right spirit going on when it happened, you need to make up for it. Now, by that, I mean this. So Noelle found out yesterday that she had to get up at 4:30 this morning because the president of quote unquote the company was coming in because they were doing a remodel, and her section was one of the sections that are being remodeled. So she had to be at work at 6 in order to be there. Okay. All right. So now I'm not in the doghouse or anything. I just, you know, feeling like I could have done better. So you know what I did? And I'm telling you this for a reason. I got up at 5 in the morning, and I sat with her for about a half hour while she was getting ready, right? And I encouraged her because I knew she was really tired. And then she went to work, and I went back to bed for at least an hour and a half until the dog said, that's enough out of you. Get up. You know, that was a whole separate thing. The reason that I bring it up is not because I did something brilliant. That's exactly not the case. In fact, the reason that I had to make it up is because I didn't do something brilliant. But it dawned on me that it is okay, or not okay, but it's probably right for you and I when we're in relationships and we do something that's a little far off, or maybe not as authentically Christian as we generally need to be, that we're allowed to make up for it. And so what I was trying to do was communicate with her, I love you. I'm kind of sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, I'm totally sorry because I'm up at 5 a.m. that I wasn't like nicer about the whole thing. And so whatever happened by getting up at 5 in the morning last night went bye-bye. And my point in making that sharing that with you is simply sometimes we can do things that is a way to say I'm with you without doing a whole bunch, and that will just make some of the dumber things less painful or less dumb. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here we go. Our next trivia question. After this, I'm going to send you up to the website, and I am telling you right now, I am doing some jokes. I don't care. You were like, you're not supposed to do jokes. Okay, so if you don't understand that a merry heart does make like medicine, and the Bible says there's a time to laugh, then it might not be funny to you, but to me, they're hilarious. And that's really what counts. Okay, here we go. I know, that's so mean. Here we go. All right, who is this person? Get ready. Another who is this person. A little tougher. Okay. I was the uncle of a queen. Some people say cousin, but it certainly seems more like the uncle. I was the uncle of a queen. I nullified Haman's decrees. Your reference, Esther, chapter 2, verse 7. Who am I? Am I David, Cyrus, or Mordechai? That is the question. I was the uncle of a queen. Now, some people say, well, that's the cousin. It's like, nah, it really looks more like the uncle. I nullified Haman's decree. Esther chapter 2, verse 7. Who am I? Am I David? Am I Cyrus? Or am I Mordechai? That would be the question. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. And also text 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I got to send you to the website. Let me tell you about this right here. And if you can give, that's great too. Check out the website at hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Is that not great? I'm sorry. This doesn't matter to me. We do have somebody on the line, so I want to repeat the trivia question, then we'll send him on through. I was the uncle of a queen. I nullified Haman's decree. Esther 2:7 is the reference. Who am I? Am I David? Am I Cyrus? Or am I Mordechai? Send the person on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is a Pink Panther.
That's funny. It's the Pink Panther. I love it. That's a good answer. See, that's funny. That's funny. I like that one. Hi, my brother.
Hey, you earlier said the merry heart is a good heart, too. We just keep laughing, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Merry heart does make like medicine, and that's good medicine, mm-hmm. Right? All right. Yeah. Let me set up the question, and then you can answer it. I was the uncle of a queen. Some people say cousin, but it was uncle. I nullified Haman's decree. Esther 2:7 is the reference point. Am I David, Cyrus, or Mordecai?
Well, when we say Haman, we say Booth, so I'll go with the Mordecai.
That is correct, Vanessa! And we'll just ignore the fact that I went Haman and Mordecai.
Yeah.
Hey, they spent a lot of time in Hebrew school doing that. Okay. All right, fire away. You got a joke? Fire away.
Yeah. Well, one day after the Sunday school, the Sunday school teacher was bringing the Sunday school class into the main sermon in a sanctuary. So she said, guys, do you know why we have to be quiet in the church? So one little girl said, oh, because people are asleep.
People are what? They're sleeping? Oh, that is mean. Oh, I hope you're not going to a church. That is mean. That's funny, though.
Well,
that's
that was
funny.
The Anglican church, so yeah, it's no, okay.
Oh, careful there. Careful there. Not all of them. All right. We'll just let that go.
Hey, because Anglicans start filling their church from back row to the front, so all right.
Okay. You must
I'm
be getting
bad.
Ready.
Sorry,
you
Lord,
must,
forgive me.
You must be getting ready to head into the weekend. That's all I can say.
Well, happy Palm Sunday to everybody in advance.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Love you, brother.
Hey, I was, you were so on fire earlier, the earlier part of the show. Uh-huh. I almost called the fire department that this guy is on fire.
He has so many degrees.
But I didn't know the location, so I said, all right, it's not going to help me.
What was that they used to say? I'm in a secret bunker? Isn't that what Rush used to say? Something like that. I'm in a secret bunker.
All right,
bunker
love somewhere. You guys. Shabbat shalom, everybody. Right.
God bless, brother.
And remember that Jesus loves us.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, too. Great phone call. All right, here we go. We're going to jump in to this next teaching. Then we're going to do Pastor Ray's at the end, and then I'll do the jokes with Pastor Ray's. Is that okay? People are going to be like, "That's you shouldn't do that. That's sacrilege." Now, you don't know. See, Pastor Ray was one of my good friends. That's what we did. We'd get together, and we'd talk. We'd get together for coffee or something when I would come out and see him in San Diego. And when I was there, and we would tell really bad Christian jokes to one another. Yeah, it's spiritual maturity at its height. Here we go, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Joshua 24, verse 15. Okay. Now, this is one of those toughy teachings, but it's important. And so we teach a lot of encouragement. We also teach directly on sin, confronting sin. We teach about trying to live our lives for the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do, right? We live in the tension that the Lord could be coming back in the next 2 minutes, or maybe not for 2 years or 20 years. We do our best to occupy until he comes. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers who served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in the land in which we are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. A very powerful, powerful, powerful word. Choose for yourselves. Here's one of the most powerful principles in walking with God. One thing the Lord has given you. You don't know the level of his knowledge. I think that's fair to say. He knows what you're going to choose, but you're still going to choose. You're still going to have accountability. And here's this powerful principle that emerges in almost every case, and that is we have to make a choice. Let me explain this to you. So I'm talking to my brother, and we're talking about the moments that you go through tougher times. And as we're talking, I talked to him about Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Okay, so there's a lot of interpretations on that. David wrote Psalm 23 in a cave. He was facing death on a couple of different accounts. He's the shadow of death. Some people say, well, that's an actual valley and so on and so forth. I think you're missing the point, but that's just me. That's, you know, I don't freak out about those kind of things. Here's the point. He's talking about it from the context of being close to death, but he says this: though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That is a choice. I will fear no evil. David's declaring, I choose not to fear evil. And that happens on a regular basis per circumstance in all of our lives. We have to make a choice. Now, here's the first thing I would say for the Christian is going to be the 2 Corinthians 5:7 and the 5:17. It's like, you look, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the Bible says that we should walk by faith and not by sight. That means we should walk by faith and not by sight. You know what that means? We should walk by faith and not by sight. But sometimes you and I walk by sight. That's our choice. God isn't making you walk by sight. He wants you to walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those who seek him. God has chosen the vessel of faith, the vehicle of faith, for us to engage with him and to hear him and to see him and understand him. We have to choose. When you're facing a circumstance, you choose. One, I am or am not going to face this with the Lord. Two, I am or am not going to operate in faith. Three, I am or am not going to be afraid. These are all choices. And here's something that I will confess that a professor in a psychology class many, 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 many moons ago taught me when him and I were talking about this one time. And he says, it's never one or the other. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, it's not A or B. I said, well, what do you mean? And I wanted to understand. I was young. And he said, it can be A, it can be B, it can be neither A or B, or both A or B. Because every choice has four components. Now, why that's actually pretty good for Christians is because you can choose to walk by faith. You can choose to walk by sight. You can choose to walk by neither faith nor sight and just live by your feelings and have a completely ridiculous life. Or you can live by faith and sight in the context of you believe a little bit, but then you do it by sight a little bit. See, all those, there's four. All those are viable choices. But the scripture doesn't say you should walk by both faith and sight. It says you should walk by faith. See that difference? Choosing is one of the most powerful principles in walking with God. And then Joshua says this, and this is one of the reasons I named my first son Joshua. This is, you're thinking, no, this is really it. I named my son Joshua before I ever, ever, ever was close to marriage, just so you can know. Here's what he says. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day who you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers whom they served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, this has to be personal. You have to choose. No one chooses for you. You choose. And Joshua says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Even if you stand alone, you choose to stand with and for God, period. Or you don't. There's no, there's not a lot of wiggle room there. Nope, there's not. We'll take our break here and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
In 1 Samuel 5 and 6, it talks about the Ark of the Covenant. That's where the at the end of 1 Samuel chapter 5, that's where the movie, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, that's where they got the whole premise. 70 men, when the Ark came back, actually that's in 6, I'm sorry, 1 Samuel 6, they looked into the Ark, which God deemed disrespectful. and real life, and 70 people died because they looked into the ark on the spot. That's from real. That's real stuff. That's not fake. But the idea, it didn't probably happen the way that they showed it in the movies, but okay. At least they tried to portray it, and at least they were accurate about what took place. But I think the important part is to understand the Philistine rulers were political leaders. They were political leaders. They got together for a political solution. That's what happened. That's what happened. The priests got together and made a decision. Instead of trying to overcome the power of God, they thought they'd make an offering to God, return the ark to Israel. That spiritual solution worked. Got that? So political rulers making political decisions, failure. Priests making an offering to God and returning things to their proper place, solution. That's the key, people. I think that's the key. That's what we need. That's why we need a strong spiritual core in the church. Not just you in your church, but the church in large. Trust me. Trust me when I say this. When they start shooting Christians because we're Christians, when it becomes more like China and they start beating us because we're Christians, the denominational issue will fade to the white. And for all of the people that say, no, that can't be, you are way, way wrong. Church history has repeated itself several times. It's the exact same thing. Keep in mind, the church has been around a little longer than America. Oh, tell that to some Christians. They want to shoot you. It's weird. Anyway, as the kicker to that is the five rats. I think that's the funniest part of all, that they actually had to make five golden rats representing the five political leaders. A divine humor saying sometimes political leaders can be like rats. That's kind of what that's saying. And it's human proclaimed, but is it Jesus approved? That's the question. Anyway, we've had a phenomenal show. I'd say phenomenal. Would you call it phenomenal? I call it phenomenal. I don't even know what phenomenal.
Super phenomenal.
Super phenomenal. We've had a super phenomenal show. And I just want to say that we really appreciate all of our guests. We have a terrific. I mean, we have something. I got something for tomorrow. Oh, my goodness. It's called the nagging theory. You ever heard that? It's called the nagging theory. For all of those young Jewish boys out there who have grown up in that same kind of process, you will understand. It's the nagging theory. We're going to talk about that. And then a few more things about, a few more things we're going to give away. Something interesting happened in Alabama Supreme Court. A lot of good political stuff that we've talked about, but mostly Kingdom of God stuff, because, you know, everything else compared to advancing the kingdom of God, everything else is just interesting. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Going to get right to it. Here's our trivia question. Who is this person? I talked about tithes and offerings, and I wrote the last book in the Old Testament. Who am I? Am I Malachi, am I Zephaniah, or am I Haggai? Straightforward. Can't give you the reference because it just gives it away. And I think you guys can understand that. I talked about tithing and offering, and I wrote the last book in the Old Testament. Who am I? Am I Malachi, am I Zephaniah, or am I Haggai? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. In the meantime, I'm going to do a couple of jokes, okay? And these are, let's see, that's a one-liner, that's a one-liner, that's a one-liner. So three one-liners, and we'll see if the other ones go good. I think you'll like these. I'm telling you right now, I think you're going to be like, good joke day. You ready?
All right, we'll see.
All right. Which vegetable was not permitted on the Mayflower? Which vegetable was not permitted on the Mayflower? The leek. Leeks and onions. See, that's a vegetable. Okay. That's because Jacob doesn't know leeks. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to go with. Okay. Why were the Middle Ages also called the Dark Ages? Why were the Middle Ages also called the Dark Ages? Because there were so many knights. Hard to follow you. All right, here you go. This is brilliant. I'm saying it now. The teacher to the class. Teacher to the class. Please tell me something important, she said to the class, that didn't exist 50 years ago. Student raises his hand. What's the answer? Me. See, because he wasn't alive 50 years ago. So something not. Okay. All right, last one. This is in honor of people everywhere. Okay. A teacher had just discussed magnets in her class. At the close of the lesson, she said, "My name begins with M, and I pick up things. What am I?" Julia thought for a moment, then answered, "Your mom." That's pretty good. Your mom. All right, that's enough of this. All right, here's back to the Your mom. I talked about tithes and offerings, and I wrote the last book in the Old Testament. That was written by me. Who am I? Am I Malachi, Zephaniah, or Haggai? We're going into a devotional from my good friend, Pastor Ray. Pastor Ray, he passed a couple of years back, 2 years back. One of my best friends, he is in heaven doing so much better than I am doing here. Yes, I am a little jealous. Discussion another time. But he continues to bless us through. He wrote several books. This is his devotional called This Day. I just want to read this one. It's called The Long Pause. This is out of Isaiah. This is all from Pastor Ray. So I'll read the whole thing, okay? Isaiah 42:14. For a long time I have kept silent. That's out of the NIV. 42:14, Isaiah. For a long time I kept silent. Where was God for 400 years? The first Christmas broke 400 years of silence. Between the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, there's your hint, and Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, 400 years passed with no direct communication from God to his people. They were accustomed to hearing God speak. He was a God of words. He spoke everything into existence. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He spoke through the prophets, the kings, angels, and ordinary people. From a burning bush to a still small voice, he actively communicated until this unique long pause. What did a young Jewish boy or girl born in the second or third century of silence think? All the stories, the parting of the Red Sea, Jonah and the whale, the Battle of Jericho, the shepherd boy who became King David must have seemed like mythology or even fairy tales. Where was God for 400 years? He was working behind the scenes to prepare the world and his people for the birth of his son. Let me read that again. He was working behind the scenes to prepare the world and his people for the birth of his son. Three extremely important events developed during this era. A common language emerged when Alexander the Great enforced a common language, Koinonia Greek. The New Testament was primarily written and translated into Greek. Pax Romana. From 27 BC to 180 AD, the Roman Empire enjoyed a long period of relative peace. A world system of roads and transportations built by the Romans allowed efficient travel for military, trade, and populace, including missionaries like Paul and Barnabas and Luke and others. Individual hearts were also being prepared as the world prepared to receive the Savior. Then the wait was over. The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her she will be the mother of the Messiah. The birth of God's son was a glorious event for all the world and all creation. The angels celebrated, and history turned on that holy night. No longer would God be silent. Now the world can sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. In heaven and nature sing. Pastor Ray is writing about the idea that there was silence. There's one thing he didn't put in here that I want to put in here. I don't often add to Pastor Ray's stuff. I think you guys know that. But the Old Testament was translated into the Septuagint so that the common people could understand the Old Testament as well as preparation for the New Testament. And that took a very long time to do. The point is that when it doesn't seem like God is speaking, you're wrong. Technically, he's always speaking. Just look up at the stars. Just look at his handiwork. He continually speaks. But when you go through and I go through what we would think are times of silence, understand what's really going on. God is preparing you. He's not only going to speak to you, but he's prepping you for the speaking. He's getting things ready that you can't see, doing things that you don't understand, laying groundwork that you've never anticipated. And he's doing it simply so you can hear him more clearly. When you think that the Lord is far, you think that because of, and I'll just say it, your feelings. That as we've talked multiple times on this show, your feelings can be wrong. Again, if I go into Taco Bell and eat 25 tacos and 15 chalupas and then have all these other stuff, I ain't going to feel the love of God. Doesn't mean the love of God ain't there. I just ain't going to feel it. I'm going to feel something else. The point of that is that the truth prevails. And because he loves you, he's always preparing for you to hear him. That's how much he wants you. When he seems silent, you should get excited. You should have a higher level of anticipation. Because the voice is going to break through and you're going to see new revelation. Isn't that great? You bet, man. All right, in the trivia, who is this? I talked about tithes and offerings. And the last book of the Old Testament was written by me. Who am I? Am I Malachi, Zephaniah, or Haggai? And I am Malachi. There you go. That's who you are. All right, folks, I hope this was a blessing for you on the show today. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the True Station here, Texas, taking a 70 and one-half-hour break. We'll talk to you on Monday. God bless. Just as I am, you reach down and see me. Purchase my freedom at the cost of. The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.